developed background, those and vice versa, or those from more intellectual, will criticize both just the unthinking common person or the sophisticated person who's only interested in their facility, their position. So both of these, I mean, all of this, the point is that they're all discussing position. Just like the atheist. There's no such thing, there's no word for a person who doesn't believe in God. It's not collected, it means he doesn't believe in God. There's not a separate term. We understand? Like, you know, you have a rock, you have a table. They don't have any connection. But you have a theist and you have an atheist. Does that make sense? So the point is that everybody may be discussing it in a favorable light or unfavorable. The point is they're still discussing position. And even if they discuss that the other one is not good, what they're trying to say is theirs is better. My position, I mean, means others are worried about their position, their fame, their power, their influence, their wealth. But I'm not like that. I just, you know, live life as it is. But what they're defining is their own position. It's just another position. So the point is that position has meaning. Why? Because that's what tattva means. Tattva means what is the position of something? What is its definition? How does it relate to other things? So the position of God has meaning, and that position has a flavor. But to expand that flavor, then the Lord expands himself. So that's the point, is that position always has a taste, but it has more taste when there's interaction. And depending upon the quality of the interaction, then the quality of the taste increases. So that position is Krishna. Sat means position. Eternality means the place of position. So the relationship is based on the position. If you don't know what your position is, how do you relate to someone? Right? Your position up here, someone else is downstairs. How do you relate? You don't. You're both up here, you're both down there. Then you can relate. The position defines the relationship. So Krishna's position then defines relationship and also includes taste. Now, one could say the position itself has nothing, but then you're saying that the Lord and his energies are separate, different. But we don't have a problem with that. So that means the position does have a taste, because that taste is the energy. Right? The ability to accomplish something, get something done, to experience something, that's the energy. So, therefore, one cannot separate the Lord and his energies. We may try, just like we try to say, well, there's the material world, and then there's the spiritual, and so this is all bad, and that's all good. But someone who actually has an understanding knows that there's a non-difference. It's still the kingdom of God, inferior manifestation, so naturally it doesn't work as nicely. But still, God is just as much here as there, in position. In taste, yes, there's a difference. Why? Because the taste then means it's superior. Krishna says he's superior qualities. The inferior qualities are simply the lack of superior qualities. They again, still don't have a separate existence. We try to create a separate existence. Someone's bad, so therefore, They deserve punishment. They deserve this. They deserve that. So many things are there. This is good. This is nice. I like this. I don't like that. But we're still distinguishing between the position and the potency that that position holds. We try to separate them, but you never can. So, but there's the element, is one acting within that relationship, right? Or one is simply occupying the position. So now, Atmarama means one is simply occupying the position. Krishna's God. But what does God mean if there's no creation? He is the source of everything. Omnipresent, omnipotent. Omnipresent of what? Omnipotent of what? His creation. So when the creation is expanded, then that position becomes dynamic. Then that taste is there, that interactiveness is there. So, therefore, when Krishna expands, that's when rasa, or taste, is to be perceived. Right? But, as we see, it's based on relationship, based on the position. So, that makes a dynamic between the form and the experience of the form, which gives rise to the so now this complete form of Godhead, then that means where all aspects of Krishna, of his nature, can be manifest. So, to do that, then we see, how you say it? This requires some purity, of course, but more is affection. Because unlike what we would think it would unfold as, the greater the manifestation, the greater the position of Godhead. But the point is the unlimited qualities means the scope of affection is much broader. If God is great, he is the creator, he is the controller, he is the knower of all things. He's the source of all opulences. Basically, that's where it ends. So the broadness of one's appreciation of God is narrow. So as long as he's showing greatness, as long as he's showing prowess, majesty, opulence, it works for you. Because then you can tell the difference between you and him. So that means he's God, I'm not. Works really well. Most people on the planet will take this as first choice. But now, God as servant, God as dependent upon his devotees for exchange, in relationship, these things then take a broader understanding, a broader appreciation, because then one would take those qualities that one would think of as not being in the powerful position, because we generally take it, if you're in the position of power, that's good. Even if we remove ourselves, as we discussed before, from the position of power, we attribute to that position greater power. Oh, I'm not like all those, big, snooty, wealthy people who, are, bound to express themselves through all kinds of social things where, you know, nobody really cares about each other, but everybody's there to just smile and, oh, you know, so nice to meet you and all that. I'm real, you know, down to earth, you know. So you give yourself, attribute more power. So that's the position. So the point is therefore when we look at God, we do the same thing. That position of power, we're willing to give. But if it goes outside of that, then it starts to become difficult. Because then one is exposing one's vulnerability. And vulnerability is not in position. Vulnerability is in emotion. The powerful man is no less powerful if he submits himself to his family members in emotional exchange. He still owns the company. He still is the chairman of the board. He still makes all the decisions. And he still has billions of dollars. But you're protected. Your emotions are protected. No one can assail you. You're in charge of the thing. And if they try something, you use your power to push them to the side or crush them. So you're emotionally safe. So we will always take that as the better position, the more powerful position. But actually, the ability to surrender in a relationship, that takes more. That takes more. It's easy to be nasty. It's easy to put yourself in a superior position. It's harder to recognize others' position and to be able to maintain your own. That's considered rare. Someone who, no matter what you do, it doesn't change their relationship with you. You know, that's just various aspects of the interaction. One has a relationship based on certain qualities. And if there's qualities outside of that, that's the person. Hey, they have more than what I understand, what I know. I have a relationship based on, hey, when we were kids, we used to go out and run around in the fields together. You know, but what he does with his family, that's a different thing. So we can understand is that the relationship deepens by being able to appreciate what's beyond, what creates the emotional vulnerability. So that vulnerability means if one's intelligent, one's not going to show that or express that to those who aren't going to appreciate it. Because the point of relationship is exchange. If someone's not going to reciprocate greater emotional vulnerability, why one should show it, right? It means you bring out money when there's someone who there can be a proper exchange. They have proper goods, you have proper money, or you have money, they have some way to facilitate it, to invest it, to increase it. Then you talk about seeing money. But if you bring out your money and they're going to steal it, you'd be stupid, right? So you only bring out your emotions if people can reciprocate that. Of course, people will demand and say, no, it's right, you have to bring them out, this and that. Otherwise, what are you hiding? What are you this? What are you that? But that's only because of their own position of trying to be in the upper hand of power. That's all. Not that they're going to reciprocate it, but it's just they're just showing their power. Right? So we see is that, so there's no, it's not considered better that someone just shows it. No. The person who never shows it has a problem. The person who always shows it has a problem. The person knows how to show it when it will be reciprocated and not show it when it won't. That's intelligence. That's real. That is real culture. So, therefore, only when someone has that ability to appreciate the broad range of qualities that Godhead possesses, since he is everything, then only to those personalities will it be manifest. Therefore, you see, is that Krishna is very careful. Emotions are a delicate thing. So therefore, they will be manifest as the intimacy increases. In the material world, to the common person, he's death. Any more than that, they'll take advantage. Right? He's the boss. You do something wrong, you go to hell. Okay, then I'll respect the guy. But if I thought I could do something wrong and not go to hell, hey, I'd be going doing something wrong. So there's no respect for God's grace. And then as we come into greater, he's the most powerful. He wins all the battle. He comes on the battlefield, no one defeats him. So you got to hand it to him. He's powerful. Right? Indra, when he's defeated at Govardhan, then he accepts. Otherwise before, he wasn't. Krishna's being friendly with his cowherd boyfriends. Brahma takes advantage. Right? So therefore, one has to be careful. Right? So that intimacy is not shown. The cowherd boys, he was intimate, they reciprocated, but Brahma seeing it, he took advantage. So, we see is then therefore, he's powerful, he always wins, he's the boss, he's Paramatma. So, okay, it rolls. In Vaikuntha, then he's the most opulent, the greatest, the most powerful. Everyone appreciates. His majesty is there. And slowly, slowly you add something. You know, in the pastimes of Ram or in Dwarka, where that greatness is there, but there's also that bit of intimacy. Until you get to Braj. So in Braj there's the greatest intimacy. It doesn't matter what Krishna does. He will be appreciated. Right? It won't change the relationship. Mother Jashoda sees the universal form. It doesn't change her relationship with Krishna. She just thinks maybe she's a bit tired or ate something that didn't agree with her at breakfast. Right? It doesn't change. Arjuna, it changed. Universal form and that, oh no, I've been so intimate, I've been a fool. Right? So in Braj it doesn't change, it doesn't matter what Krishna does. That means he, whatever aspect there is in his unlimited qualities, he can manifest. And it can be reciprocated. That's Braj. Now, the living entities being part and parcel, then all the energies being various expansions, then they, though they have the qualities, but they don't have it in that unlimited form. So that full reciprocation won't be there. But we see is that when Krishna, as the original personality, as Godhead, as the complete whole, when he expands his energy, that energy is one. That's the Surup Shakti. The Surup Shakti then is non-different from him. This is the manifestation of the energy of his energetic moods. So whatever the energetic quality, there's the energy aspect of reciprocation. Does that make sense? Because for anything to be dynamic, there has to be that interaction, that masculine feminine interaction. So that means if you have something good, good is a position, but then there's the dynamic interaction of good with the elements that manifest goodness. You understand? So that's the point, is that position of God is there, but it's the interaction that increases the flavor. And that increasing of the flavor doesn't change the position. We in the material world like to create it so. But that's only for our own purposes, for our own false ego. But someone's position doesn't change because of manifestation of rasa or not. It's a matter of the degree in which the relationship can be appreciated. Right? So now if, therefore, that means for Godhead to fully appreciate and taste that manifestation of his energies, that means his energy is as complete as he is. So for every unlimited quality, there's an unlimited feminine aspect of reciprocation. Does this make sense? Okay. So, in case you're wondering, you know, how is this dry, drawn out, boring discussion have anything to do with today's topic? That energy, that complete manifestation, that's Radharani. Okay? So, therefore, we have to understand only Radharani can manifest or bring out the full personality of Godhead. Because otherwise, he is unlimited and we're not. And neither is any other energy. The Shrub Shakti is unlimited. And as we said, those few main qualities of God's greatness and majesty, that's what we consider as the position of God. But the interactiveness of God, that's unlimited qualities. So for those unlimited qualities to manifest, you have to have the unlimited facility to manifest them. Meaning, someone who will reciprocate, who will appreciate. Right? And as we've seen also in relationships, someone can appreciate, then there's some interaction, there's some increase in flavor. That appreciation is increased. Where there's servitorship or friendship, then it's greater. Right? If the parental is greater, the but conjugal will bring out the greatest depth of affection. So, therefore, that natural manifestation of the Surup Shakti in its full manifestation is the Adi Rasa, the conjugal rasa. So that means there's Radha and there's Krishna. And this is the complete manifestation of Godhead. Right? It doesn't change, it's plural. Right? That therefore we have in Sanskrit the plural case. Right? You have the singular and you have the many, but then you have dual. Because the dual is not, it's one entity. Right? Radha and Krishna, it's one entity in two forms. Right? Lakshmi Narayan. Krishna and Balaram, brothers. But it's one mood. Therefore, there's a special case for it. So, the manifestation then means that whatever is Krishna's, whatever he wants to taste, whatever quality he wants to interact based on, Radharani can reciprocate it. No one else. We have to be very clear on this. No one else. Right? Not Lakshmi. Not the Jivas. Not other manifestations in the internal potency. Not that they can't interact, but they're less. So whatever is their quality, therefore they can interact. Krishna's not a problem. It's all his qualities. So one shouldn't become insecure, oh, I can never please Krishna. No. The point is, therefore all manifestations of that completeness are connected to the internal potency, the Surup Shakti. So that means, when we say Braj, we'll say Braj means Braja Krishna. No, Braj means Radharani. because you'll never see. The only way we will ever see Vraja Krishna, which is the fullest manifestation of Krishna's personality, is if Radharani is there, because she can reciprocate. As we said, as persons can reciprocate, you manifest qualities. They can't reciprocate, you don't manifest. Radharani can reciprocate. Therefore, Krishna can manifest. Does this make sense? Right? So that means, Braja Krishna means we're seeing through the eyes of Srimati Radharani. Right? And our connection to her then is through her expansions. Right? She has the internal potency, Lalita, Vishakha, the other gopis, the other residents of Vrindavan. Then there is the jivas. Right? And then we see through those jivas before us. The spiritual master, the acharyas, Rupa Goswami. And then like this, then into the internal potency to Radharani. Therefore, when Lord Chaitanya says dasanu, dasanu, das, thousand times removed, he means it. That is our position, right? Remember, when Lord Chaitanya comes here to preach, he's not saving internal potency. Dead matter's dead matter, couldn't care less. That means he is saving jivas. So our position, dasanu, dasanu, that's the way it is. That is our position. And the nice point is because of the element of the parampara, that clarity, transparency, that means that what Radharani is seeing, you can see if you're connected through parampara. Right? So all these elements of tattva, those things, okay, yeah, we've heard that, it's the definitions. Now let's move on to something else. Either some new tattva I've never heard about or get into the rasasa. We can see as dynamically as whatever is there in the tattva that exactly explains the same element in rasa. As we said, the position and the interaction are non-different. God and his creation are non-different. Radha and Krishna are non-different. So there is no difference. It's a misnomer created by the Sahajiyas and the Mayavadis that there's a difference. Right? The Mayavadis, because they don't know what Ras is and they want to prove that their position of understanding tattva is superior, so they're going to say, that's it, and Rasa has no meaning. And the Sahajiyas are going to say, oh, Rasa is everything, tattva has no importance. But our acharyas don't agree. They're exactly connected. So the reason that we do elements in sadhana is because sadhana is simply adjusting with the position. Raganuga means being able to appreciate the interaction. Sahaja is something else. Just like Mayavada, we have philosophy, then there's Mayavada, it's something else, it's not real. So we have rasa, then there's sahajas, that's something else. Right? So just as we have nothing to do with the Mayavada, we have nothing to do with sahajas. Right? Sahaj means easy. I don't bother with the tattva. I don't bother with the position, the relationship. I just try to enjoy the taste, but there is no taste without relationship. Therefore, what do they get? It's a show. So Raganuga Bhakti, despite its fearsome, definition that's been given, is simply the ability to appreciate and act in a natural way with the elements of tattva. To the point where the interaction becomes prominent. That's all. Someone who's, let's say, inspired in a particular art or science, that's the spontaneous platform. When you first take it up, it's like, you know, how do you hold the spoon and how do you do this and the fire? All these things, each one is individual things and you have to see it, putting it all together. It's just a bunch of rules. But once one is accustomed with it, then one doesn't even think about these things. It's what effect I'm going to get, then one just does. That's spontaneous. So, Braj means that the rules and regulations of the element of Godhead, the positions, aren't the prominent importance. It's the taste of the interaction. And they have the purity, they have that affection that takes it beyond the need to function in that capacity of simply the rules. So it's a very special and unique place. Considering this, then one starts to question, or one should start to question, how important is position and other things in the material world? And when I'm talking material world, I'm talking the material world for the devotees. Right? Position within the society, position compared to the outside society, position with others in the society. It has a meaning, but its only value is the interactive element. So if one has forgotten that, then one has actually forgotten what the point of being in this movement in the first place is. Right? We're becoming more and more sophisticated, more and more developed. What the general devotee has now in the way of facility in India, back in the 70s, only Prabhupada had. You know, his own room, had a fan, you know, he had nice food regularly, a place to sleep, no mosquitoes. Only he had that. Nobody else had it. Now that's just, you know, even the common guest comes, they get that. Right? Then we're discussing, you know, should I get the 4-bedroom, the 3-bedroom, but then, you know, that one has the 2 bathrooms, that one has the 3, you know, but then, you know, then I don't want to have to stand there while someone else has the bathroom, and then if I want to leave my stuff around, then, you know, others come in and play with it, you know, so the more bathrooms. Out in the middle of, if anyone remembers where the Lotus Park was, you know, just on the other side of the Lotus Park, there used to be one little, you know, about 3-foot by 3-foot room with one door on it. And it was called the toilet. And it was the toilet for the whole project. Right? So, the point is that we get distracted when we missing that why Krishna expands. If position was the best, then why would he expand? It's the relationship, it's the interaction. That's the most important. That's where the taste lies. So therefore he expands. And in expanding, then he is the complete personality of Godhead. Then there's the complete personality of his potency, a Radharani. Then everything else being her expansion, then assists in whatever is our capacity. And because of the transparency and because of the non-difference, one can experience what they are experiencing. Right? That's why the philosophy is important. Otherwise, one doesn't even know the devotional process. You want to discuss Braj, all pastimes, this and that. Nice, but if you don't know the philosophy, you'll miss points. Right? I've heard a devotee say, you know, I'm worried about this, you know, I got to be in the back. I want to be right up there in the front with Krishna. Why should I be in the back? You know, because if I have an indirect relationship, I'll never get to interact with Krishna. But the point is relationship's one thing, interaction's another. You can relate directly with people you don't have a direct relationship with. You meet a person on the street, do you have a direct relationship with them? No. But are you interacting directly? Yes. So that's not the problem. The point is what do you want to see? Radharani being the complete personality of servitor, you know, of the servants, then what she sees no one else can see, because only she can manifest the complete personality of Godhead. So if we're assisting her, that means we're seeing, we're able to appreciate what Krishna, that full manifestation. And she is the complete personality of servitorship. She is able to please Krishna completely. And because of that completeness, then if you add the service of the devotee to that, then it's Krishna's completely pleased plus that little bit more. You understand? That's the point, is that you have, let's say, a nice meal, but let's say we add some other elements to it. You know, the plate's nice, or, you know, there's a tablecloth, or it's in a nice room. It enhances the meal. It doesn't change that the only reason you're there is because of the meal. Now, if I have a nice tablecloth and there's no meal, you know, I'm not going to sit there and go, wow, great tablecloth. Hey, what do you think? Nice. It's not going to happen. Right? In other words, on its own, it has no meaning. But when Krishna, when Radharani is there, then that completeness is there. Then you can start adding little things to it. That's the service that the devotees render. They add all those little touches. And because God's unlimited, and there's unlimited living entities, there's unlimited touches. Does that make sense? Just as Krishna's qualities are unlimited, that means the qualities that the jivas have to manifest in that are also unlimited. But each individual doesn't have unlimited qualities, but they have something unique. So each jiva is unique. Right? There has to be, there's enough common qualities that all jivas can get together and relate. But there's something unique that they can add to that pastime. Does that make sense? But that, still, that connection is to Radharani, because we're energy, she's energy. So that means the quality that we have is found in her. And it's only through it manifesting in her that you're going to see Braja Krishna. Does that make sense? So, this is the aspect, is that the full manifestation of Krishna and Braj and his being able to manifest like that is because Radharani is there. Right? That's why it's said, is Lakshmi wants to come and serve Krishna in Vrindavan. And it said she can. So she gets a place. I've heard she's been given a spot washing dishes somewhere. That's as close as she can get. Because when she sees Braja Krishna, she will see those qualities of opulence and greatness, and you won't have Braja Krishna standing there anymore. You'll have Narayan standing there. So therefore, she can be there, appreciate the environment, appreciate the devotees talking about the pastime, but she won't be indirectly interacting. Because it won't happen. Right? So, just like that, yeah. So, therefore, everything in Braja means Radharani. Right? For us, Hare Krishna Mahamantra means Radharani. The Kama Gayatri means Radharani. All these are different manifestations that without her, there isn't Braja Krishna. This idea that there'll be Braja Krishna, it doesn't work. any questions or comments? He has a question? Oh, yes. Kid next to you is raising his hand. Huh? It goes back. Hey, how do you vote?
Hare Krishna, thank you for the class, Maharaj. You see, we've heard that Radharani is the complete manifestation or complete access to the personality of Godhead as a Swarup Shakti, and that only through her we can understand the completeness of Vishnu. So what about the position of Balaram or Jogamaya, because Swarup Shakti takes on three, Sandini and...
That's the question.
Yes, because okay. There's three aspects, right, after that.
But there's three aspects of the Swarup Shakti, right? In other words, when the Swarup Shakti is manifesting through internal potency, because Swarup Shakti includes internal and external and jivas, right? It's one energy. But now when you're manifesting through the internal, then you get Sandini Samvit Ladini. Right? When you're manifesting through the external, then you get goodness, passion, and ignorance. Does that make sense? So therefore then interactiveness, then you have the internal means you're accepting Godhead, and external means you're not. That's basically. So that position, see, is that we're showing that there's a non-difference between the position and the interactiveness. At the same time as the interactiveness is what you're going to see. Right? It means you say someone has a position, but how do you know they have the position? By an activity, right? You know the person's the king because of an activity, right? There's an opulence, the way people deal with him, the facilities, what activities he does. But otherwise, you can have, you know, the king has, you know, gone out into the forest and got lost, and he's sitting there and found a cave, and there's some, you know, other person sitting in that cave. What's the difference, right? So it's manifest as people. Right, peopleness is there, so here's the individual, but kingness is not manifest. Does that make sense? So that complete personality of Godhead, that complete personality of servitorship, that is the position, but it's manifest through the internal potency, which will mean then the spiritual potency, and then in that Radharani will take the mood of the Haladini Shakti. Right? So that's why sometimes there's confusion. See, Ladini, but then she's the, you know, then talks about Samvit or even Chit. Then we confuse Chit meaning the Swarup Shakti with Chit meaning Sat Chit Ananda. But Chit is the manifestation of the overall Chit. Does that make sense? So you have those two levels. And then when that is reflected, again, expanded, then you get the external potency, or Mahamaya. So Balaram is the Supreme Personality of Servitor Godhead, but he's still Vishnu Tattva. So he's still Godhead, right? But then he takes care of, in one sense we can say, the Chit manifestation, right? Means Krishna is Sat, he's Chit, and Radharani's Ananda. In that lineup, you also would say he would take care of the manifestations. He is Shankarshan, so he is the field of activity, right? While Krishna then is what's attractive, you know, he's Prajumna, you know, Cupid. But at the same time, within the material sphere, that's still Balaram. It means everything outside of Braj is technically Balaram. So Dwarka, Mathura, Dwarka, Vaikuntha, the material manifestation, it's all Balaram. But still, there's the differences of the personality of Sankarshan and Vasudev. So Vasudev means where you're interactive. Sankarshan means this is the field. That's the rules of the field. So still some slight difference. So then in the Swarup Shakti, also then you can say is Swarup Shakti is what arranges everything. So that means Yoga Maya is also Swarup Shakti. Does that make sense? So many times there'll be confusions there. So that manifestation of the Swarup Shakti in which it's interactive with Krishna, that's Radharani. But the Swarup Shakti in which it's making all the arrangements, that's Yoga Maya. Right? And so as a manifestation, then you get Purnamasi. Does that make sense? So, but in that sense, she's creating the field. Yoga Maya creates the field and the interest in the field. So that means she's taking care of Sambandha. So that connects her with Shankarshan. Therefore, Purnamasi's husband, we always see, is connected back to Shiva. Does that make sense? You know, Shiva's an expansion of Shankarshan. That makes sense. So there's these subtle, depending upon the realm that's manifest. Does that make sense? The subtleties there. So, therefore, the manifestation is through Hladini, because it increases the pleasure. That's where the manifestation is. Just like Krishna's in Braj, it basically is Gopinath. The other aspects are there, but it's for us. It's the Sambandha aspect of Gopinath, which is Madan Mohan, or the Abhideya aspect of Gopinath, which is Govinda, right? Or there's the affection there is, that appreciate, that love for Krishna, as Prayojana. So it's Gopinath of Gopinath. So when we talk about Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana, that we're actually talking about within Gopinath. That's why others can be talking about the same thing and meaning different things. Like if Gopal Guru is talking about the manifestations within Braj and the relationships and that, he's talking about Govinda or Madan Mohan, the position of Sambandha or Abhideya. Does that make sense? So different acharyas give different aspects of Braj, but they're giving it from that perspective, from the cowherd boy perspective or from others' perspective. Or even other gopis' perspective, because there are gopis who interact that ultimately it's all connected to Radharani. Jatila, Kotila, they're all there as servants of Radharani. But if everything is so easy, right, it's just Radha and Krishna, that's all there are. They're married, and it's just easy. Where's the parakia? That's already happening in Dwarka. Parakia means it's not yours. So, you could have the element of it's not yours, meaning it hasn't manifest, so Radharani is unmarried, Krishna's unmarried, and you know, something's going on. But if Radharani's married to someone else, she's not yours. Right? And so then these elements, and then okay, he's there and he's a bit of an idiot, so she can get away very easily. So whenever they want, they can get together. Again, it reduces the quality of parakia, but Jatila gets in the way, she creates obstacles, so it's not automatic Radha and Krishna can be together. That makes sense? So it increases, it actually enhances the parakia, right? And Jatila, you know, she can create a lot of problem, but because, you know, she's the lady of the house, she's not going to go out much and all that and have other things to do because she has her responsibility. But her daughter, now she could go out and make trouble. So where Jatila can't go out and make trouble or wouldn't, Kotila can go out and make trouble. So it all enhances. And then you have Abhimanyu there. Right? So all that enhances. And then even you say, okay, that's there. But still, he's Braj. No, he's from Mathura. He was born in Mathura. So technically he doesn't belong to Braj. At any time, Vasudev and Devaki could ask for him to come back. Is that right? So therefore the parakya element is complete. So all these different gopis, even they have their position where they're opposed to Radharani. So even within the conjugal, it's not so easy. So all this just makes us more and more endeavor. We generally think the easier it is, you know, life would be great. We just sit back, down, nothing, everything happens. But if that was the case, that was the greatest, then there wouldn't be all these obstacles. So that's why the Sankirtan pastimes of going through the troubles of dealing with, you know, the opposing elements to God consciousness is part of the pastime. We think it's a problem. We'd like to get rid of them, but Lord Chaitanya doesn't think so. The problems are what's fun. Right? We may not think they're so fun, but that's because we don't see them connected to Krishna. Like that. So you have all these different personalities in Vrindavan that do all different things. But ultimately, they're all just servants of Radharani. But in position. But in the pastime, then they'll take up these different relationships and interactiveness that creates, you know, an enhancement or an opposition to Radha and Krishna getting together. Does that make sense? So, therefore, the Sarup Shakti, for us, we see these two main manifestations, Yogamaya and Radharani. Like that. And then they have their expansions as they come down. So Purnamasi will be that complete manifestation. Then, you know, then Subhadra will be an expansion there. Then, you know, come down like this. Does that make sense? Just like from Radharani, then you'll get Lalita and Vishaka, and then you'll get your manifestations in Dwarka, Rukmini, and others. Then you'll get Sri Bhuvan Nila and Vaikuntha. Does that make sense? But the principle is always the same, is that in Vaikuntha, the full manifestation of Vishnu and his majesty and greatness is only there because Lakshmi's there. So still, you have to see Narayan through Lakshmi's vision, through her service. Right? Or, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, his greatness in universal form is simply because of Lakshmi. She is the dynamic element that makes the universal form alive. But the table is there, but that it can hold things up. These things stay there, they don't fall through the floor. That's why we are attracted. I can put it down here. The position that the table does that, that's the tattva. But that it is doing that, and we're attracted to that, that's the energies. That's Lakshmi. So even all the manifestation of the universal form only have meaning because of the internal potency. Is that okay? Does that work? Did that answer your question, or did we completely miss the point?
If you're approaching Krishna through Radharani, or via the avenue of Balaram, or via Yogamaya,
But even Balaram and Yogamaya will be assisting Radharani. Even Balaram will be assisting in the... Vrindavan means the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Yogamaya is only arranging for Radha and Krishna to be together. Because the point is the Dham is Balaram. Right? So it means it's his expansion, Janava is his expansion, you know, or Ananga is his expansion. So all these are his expansions. So the Purnamasi is his expansion, but it's still the element, it's all for Radha and Krishna, because that's the complete manifestation, because Balaram's already an expansion, non-different, but there's a difference in mood. So Braja Krishna is the complete manifestation, so there's a complete manifestation of the internal potency, the Srup Shakti. Like that. Then you have all the, just as Balaram is manifest but non-different, Yogamaya will be manifest but is non-different. But Balaram arranges the facilities, but he does that through his energy, Yogamaya. Therefore, Balaram has his energies, but you don't really see it in Vrindavan, because that's not the prominent element. His gopis are there, but they don't play a prominence. Right? They're only known as friends of Krishna. Right? Is that okay? Yes.
How does
a little switch on the bottom. Very bottom, very bottom.
How does Balaram interact with Raja Krishna if we never see Balaram and Radharani together, and since you're supposed, we can only see Raja Krishna, if Radharani is present then?
Okay, yeah, yeah. Because the point is that Radharani is there, then Raja Krishna is manifest. And then the different devotees, according to their position, then they're interacting with that aspect of Krishna. Does that make sense? So your Hladini Shakti then manifests all the devotees in the conjugal rasa. Right? Your Samvit Shakti will manifest all those in servitorship, friendship, and parental. And the Sandini potency, or the sad potency, will manifest all those in neutrality, right? The cows and the trees and the grass and all other living entities. Does that make sense? So they're expanding from Radharani. Does that make sense? So they're connected. So Raja Krishna is there, but still it's because of her interaction that one is seeing. Right? Because otherwise, Krishna's Balaram's brother, right? And he'll have, that'll be one manifestation, but if you see when Radharani, internal potency expands, he becomes more attractive. I don't know if you've ever, Prabhupada mentions that. Krishna on his own is, you know, he's nice, but it's general, like, right? It's just generic qualities. But when Radharani expands, then it's very specific, then his beauty increases. I don't know if you've ever noticed in the Vrindavan temple, if you look at Krishna Balaram, Krishna looks very nice, but if you move over to Radhe Shyam, there's a completely different manifestation like that, because Radharani is there. So that aspect you'll just see when she's there. But for Balaram, you know, they're brothers, so it works. Right? And he doesn't have a problem with all the different aspects, because he's also the, you know, complete personality of Godhead. Just because he's expanded, he's in the mood of servant. Right? So that's why he's called the Supreme Personality of Servitor Godhead. Right? Because Mahanarayan is his expansion of Servitor Godhead. And then Krishna Balaram and Dwarka are Mahanarayan's expansions. And then in Vaikuntha or down into Mahashankarshan will expand into the Purusha avatars. So all other manifestations of Godhead are all servitor Godhead. They all serve Krishna. So Krishna in Vaikuntha feels himself a servant of Krishna in Braj. Right? So they meditate on Krishna in Vrindavan. Does that make sense? Something else? Yes. How does it work that, okay, the manifestation is greater, but then the farther back you are, how the greater the pleasure? Because just as we were saying, is that you are adding on, means the example is given, Radharani, the pleasure she gives Krishna is like Mount Meru, right? And any other living entity is like a mustard seed, right? So, therefore, if Radharani is serving Krishna, his pleasure is like Mount Meru. But now, if one assists Radharani in that, that's Mount Meru plus a mustard seed. Right? In a sense, so there's unlimited mustard seeds, so that way there's, you know, it adds up. It has its effect. So Krishna being, how you'd say, omniscient. Therefore, even the smallest aspect of the creation, he's aware of. So, our mustard seedness is, you know, quite significant, seeing that he is in every atom and between every atom, which is a lot smaller than a mustard seed. So, mustard seed we may think, oh, that's so insignificant, but a mustard seed is quite big compared to an atom, so we're doing okay, right? Especially since we're 1/10,000th the tip of the hair, so that means, you know, our value for size is much greater, you know, like that, you know. I say, so the jivas are good investments, right, you know, like that. So, but at the same time as you're seeing, means what we're talking about, there you're adding to Krishna's pleasure and Radharani's pleasure. But at the same time as you have the other effect, the other way of seeing, Radharani's happy because she sees Krishna's pleasure, that makes her happier than Krishna. Right? And therefore, Krishna's seeing her more happy, then he becomes more happy, so it increases. So that's what Krishna Prabhupada talks about, that transcendental competition of the happiness of the devotees. Therefore, somebody does something nice for Krishna, others see it, seeing how that pleases Krishna, so they want to also please, so they try to do something equally or better, and then it just keeps going. So the competition there is still all for Krishna. It's not about themselves and their own position. It's about rasa. That's where we make the mistake. Competition in the material world is about the position. Competition in the spiritual world is about the rasa, the interactive. That's why we see is we're competitive and we win, but we lose. We got the position, but what did we lose? We lost the relationship. But in the spiritual world, the competition doesn't lose the relationship because no one breaks the etiquette. You know, here it's to win is the most important thing. So there the interactive is the etiquette. So you go on trying different ways to win. Right? Does that make sense? So therefore, as you come back, then the person seeing the devotee serving Radharani will have the happiness of seeing both of their happiness. So then that's a third level. And then the one serving them sees that. So in that way it increases. But it goes the other way. When Krishna sees that, it goes back the other way. So it's just like waves. How do waves... Water represents rasa. When you have a wave and it hits the shore, what happens? It goes back. And it goes forth. It goes back and it goes forth. So that's the thing, it's constantly dynamic. It's always... Does that make sense? Okay. Okay, last point, then we'll end. I'm not sure if that's an appropriate question for today. Like, the question is on how does she who we do not mention her name is increases the pastimes, because then you have very significant competition in the way of the relationships. Because the point is you have a person, it means you have the main personality, the Yudhishthira, the one who's in control of the group, then she'll have her friends, they'll have their assistants, and that makes a group. So Radharani has her group, she's the head of her group. Others have their groups, Lalita, Vishakha, they all have their groups. But they engage their groups in serving Radharani, but they assist her, her group assists her. But that's an assistance of Radharani. Does that make sense? Right? So there are those who understand the directness of that, and there are those who are serving that personality, but they get engaged. So here is just another aspect of creating that competition, because Jatila, Katila, them, they're on the outside. This is on the inside. So you have direct competition there. You know what I'm saying? Mothers-in-law are generally, they create formally problems, but they don't informally create problems. But rivals do. Does that make sense? So therefore, Radharani is going to meet with Krishna, then others can make other arrangements. Does that make sense? So it just increases the endeavor, the taste, because the thing is, if there's more of a difficulty arranging it, there's also more of a taste in attaining it. Does that make sense? You know, and so all these different things are there. So plus then, who do you have to harass in the morning And thus there's some competition by saying how Krishna was with Radharani. You know what I'm saying? Like that. That makes sense? Yeah. So therefore, it just adds more to the element. But they're all devotees. Okay? And here? Śrīla Prabhupāda ki, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki, Śrīmati Radharani Abhibhav Titi Maha Mahotsava ki, Jai.
Gracias.